Shalom, and welcome to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Rodrigo, Fernando. Good evening, Yanis. How do you do today? Happy to be here with you. Fernando, would you like to ask the question, or shall I just try to access the question again?
What do you prefer, T? Shalom, shalom, everybody. Whatever you feel better for you.
So according to the book, a few chapters that you have been reading, there's like, let's say the author tries to portray how the Western civilization think, and the more he portrays an accurate picture, he puts nihilism against non-duality. Is that so? This is how he puts those two. This is it? Is that?
Yes. Yes. He puts the names in like the Japanese tradition calls it Satori, this enlightenment, this place where we do not have the mind. We are in this place of oneness, right?
Yes, when no thoughts are coming or no emotions are rising, just emptiness.
Yes, yes. And he speaks that, he points to, he reclaims two ideas. That the first one is that if you try to stay in this oneness, if you try to search for this oneness, it is common to break the dogmatism, you know, because most of religions tries to fit dogmatism. Dogmatism is related to logic, to the mind.
Yes, to perception, yes.
Exactly. So if you are trying to go beyond the mind, you see that the dogmatism it's not real. Now, just now, I remember in the book of Zohar, where the sages speaks like, where you go, about the Heihalot, in mm-hmm. one chapter that I cannot remember, but he is describing the Heihalot, like you enter in a place where there is water, but you must be aware that this is not water. This is not, it is water, but it is not water. If you think that it is water, you are wrong. It is something like this. It's not about the mind, you know. You cannot define, this is the difficulty, because you try to define it is water, but it is not water. You know, you stay in a place that you cannot speak, you cannot pronounce what is happening, you know. So this is why, you know, all these mystics, I'm sorry about this term because it brings a lot of prejudice as well, but like the Zohar being persecuted, or these all these books, or this kind of approach of non-dualism and all the Eastern approach.
Thank you. Yes, it is quite interesting, because when language or logos enter the realm, as there's the sense of sorting and then sense of we understand, we can capture by word, by concept, and the sense of language gives us a wrong impression, or we are in control because language speaks, and language can circumvent everything. This is a great mistake. Yes, therefore, also we read about Adam that he, after he names the animals, and the naming the animals is just an expression of using language precisely, he's being put into sleep. Because this is not, it's an illusion. the language, in a way, is illusion. And maybe we could speak about this today. Because there's a sense that if there's a language, everything sits in its place and everything is located in order. Because this is how also we build sentences. Sentences, either we speak them or they're written in books, they make sense. It takes us out of ignorance or so. But there is a great illusion using language that this is the final point. It's not. It is happening, but it's not final. It's like from the infinite comes stream, and the stream of consciousness is being expressed here in time and space according to what consciousness, infinite consciousness, would like to express. And there's in a way one or infinite, but there aren't many consciousness, there are many expressions. And I would like to give an example from nature, because it's clear to see this from nature. We are living here next to the shore, and when you walk or you see the shoreline, the sea, and the shore, the sea is green or blue, and the shore is the shore, the sand is fair, and so. And suddenly, after like a great wave, let's say, great wave of storm, which is like oppositing everything, not just in the air, but also under the water, under the face of the water. Few days after the storm, you see a belt, and I was mentioning this in the last conversation, belt on the shore and on the water. It's basically a huge carpet from seaweeds, which the storm somehow managed to pull through those different currents above and under the water, and who knows, because there's a limitation of how can you describe such a thing. And suddenly this belt appears and hovering above the face of the water next to the shore, and it's moving, coming with the waves into the shore and again back to the water, and also part of the belt, which is already, so to speak, sitting or stabilized on the shore, and you see seagulls and all kinds of crabs moving. In some parts of the country, they even managed to photo the blue snail, the one that the Greeks used to paint the clothes in it, like purple, deep purple, and so. So the assumption, why do we start with a description of what happens after the storm left? There's always assumption that everything sits and anchored, like in nature. There's a sea, because you look, there's looking, and there's, you can detect this. This is where the sea starts, like shallow water, medium water, blue, green, and so. And this is the shoreline, this is the sand, this is the stable ground. So there is, like, because we have words, yes, there is a word for the sea, for the ocean, for the lake, and there's shoreline, and there's a land, earth, and so. This is like dry, and this is wet, this is moving, this is stable. All kinds of relativities that helps us to navigate, so to speak. But what comes, and you see these carpets of seaweeds, you see that it's not concrete. It's a living system. So what we have considered to be, this is the ocean, and this is the shore, and this is the sand, and it's firm. And the seaweeds, they're only under, so to speak, the face of the water. They don't, everything, it is a living life. like David describes it, he says, Ma'arachot Elohim Chaim. This is systems of living God or living divinity. All of it. And this is why he says that he is going to fight Goliath. This is very interesting. Whatever we presume we have it, people speak like this. Do you have it under control? Like you are above and you have it under the control, under, above and under. Whenever we think or perceive or presume that it's firm and it's stable and this is how it was and here it is, this is how it's not. There are always assumption, and whatever we go and how we act in life, it's always under some kind of assumption. Some kind of a thought is hovering. And if there's a follow-up, it doesn't matter who follows up what, there will be a stream of things happening, but it's under the assumption. And the assumption is for, how do you say, a split of a second. And there is illusion of control, because we know. Once I was participating in meetings in the synagogue and I was trying to say something, and immediately I was brushed down by one of the ancient figures in the community. He didn't even let me speak. He just crossed, just shut down. Because this is how it is. We know everything. In their communities also, there's order. It's also very interesting that religion, Fernando mentioned religion has to do with the structure of the family, of hierarchy, of order. This is the first slap that Abraham gets on his face. If we are listening to what happens in the binding of Isaac, and I'm always mentioning it because this is a profound, this is, what more than this to say the truth? The presumption that there is a father and there is a son, there is a cause and there is a fact. This duality, cause and effect, father and son, those terms are only existing when there's a matrix of space and time. And Abraham gets a really slap because he is ain't a father. More than this, Isaac is not the son. And more than this, if you look into the abstract of what the story or the text is telling us, the mourning, regardless now of people, the mourning, the first light of dawn, the morning is young. The morning is laughter. The morning is light. The morning is joy, full of hope, full of colors. Like we found in the book of Samuel, Hashem Tzevaot, the being is infinite expressions of colors and forms and signs and letters, hosts, armies. This is the morning. The morning, not just one event that comes once in 24 hours. Every moment is a morning. But, yes, let's stay with the morning. Abraham, not just the father, there is a representation here of the institutional thought. I can sacrifice, not Isaac, I can sacrifice the mourning, because we are living in modern times, so to speak. Because if I have a bank of aims a bank of targets in the morning. I come like a sheriff and I kill, I mark V on those targets that I made list last night. And I hit every target in the morning and I've done it, all my tasks in the morning, and I have it under control. This is the modern Akedah. Not just to, this is the concept. And Aaron, and this is the beginning of institution or institutional thinking, because the soul says, I can do this now and I can be free after I have made my tasks. But you kill the morning. The morning is innocent. The moment is laughter. The moment is full of joy. It's not just Abraham and Isaac by name. It's a concept. I have to sacrifice now that I can have later better outcomes. Look at the concept now, like just pull Abraham and Isaac as like cartoon figures from the story, and what is happening? What is happening here? There is a completely a delusion, and I can testify, and I think here everyone can testify. Things has to be done somehow. No, nobody knows how, but there's like a flow of every week. If we are going with a notion that I'm going to do A, B, C, D until lunch, and I've made it done, and I can be free, this is a great mistake. It just proved itself last week. Or every moment. And here comes the besoa, or the, how do you say, you call it in English? I don't have this, besoa in the gospel. It is impossible to kill the mourning. It is impossible to kill the joy. And who claims that he knows what the order is, the institution, or the institutional thinking? Is this understood?
It's excellent. It's amazing. Just a point. I think that from last year's one of New York Times bestsellers was Bullet Journal. That was just like this, you know, how to organize your day to not skip any task, you know. And the name is Bullet Journal. It's just like this. You kill the morning, you know, you kill what is coming because you think that you know what is going to be. Quite interesting.
So it is, thank you for sharing this, Fernando. Because outside of, we think that the Bible is like something like an ancient document, 3,000 years old or so. And what does it have to do with our life now, 226 already? Because there's a great illusion, and this is what happens, that we are in charge, we are the makers. How to set your morning, how to make the ceremony of mourning, how to make the ceremony of tea in the morning, how it just happens. But there is a great veil, an illusion that we are the makers. And at some point, there is a undercurrent stream of truth. And the truth in the heart knows that there is deception of the brain, of the mind, and the truth also always will flow out, always. So, and this is quite interesting, because usually there are three prayers. There's a morning prayer, Tfilat Shacharit, comes from Shachar, dawn, and there's Tfilat Mincha, afternoon time, and there's evening prayer. And if it happens and you have like open time, you pray evening prayer, so to speak. What is the morning prayer usually when you open the book of prayers in Hebrew? What is inside, is included inside of the morning prayer? Akedah. This is the morning prayer. It is if you are awake, and it happens many, many times in the morning, sometimes we are awake. It is like it is. Nobody set it. But sometimes there's a rest between 8 to midnight, and then at 1 or midnight there's awakening until the morning, and so this is how it is here. And you see those moments if you're awake, and you see those moments of the first light, first before the first light, and this is quite interesting. 1 hour approximately before the first light, from the great darkness and cold, you hear the birds. Before the first light. Look how nature works. This is why Philon says that about Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, not that they were listening to nature, and they're keeping the Torah or keeping the mitzvot. It's not something mechanical, but listening to nature, how nature is. So 1 hour before the first light, there's already the birds from the darkness. They send like tweets, like they are singing. And then comes like a rose color, if the sky are not completely closed from storm. So you can notice like this, suddenly there's, how do you say, the break, they say in English, the break of the dawn, also in Hebrew, baka hashachar, baka, break. Also, we have the same letters of Jacob, Baka, Akev, it's the hill. But let's stay with it. There's like kind of a spark from the east, and then it just melts or expands. And this moment, it's just not just one moment, is like a few minutes of, let's say, awakening dawn. And this morning is open to everything. Is open to everything because everything can happen every moment. And you feel it when you are, we are the dawn, yes? It's amazing. Everything is open. There's no concept. There's no paradigm, how do you say? There is no institution around it. There are no bars around it. There isn't any book of laws against the dawn or so. This is amazing. And this, it's open. It's unwritten. It is full of colors. It is full of hope. It is formless. It's not rigid. Each moment that we breathe, it changes because it just, not just the first light, it comes from the east, it just colors more and more towards the west, and you see a radiance of different colors, depends on the seasons of the year, of the weather, of the sky, dust, storms, and so on, wind, and so on. But it's so open. So when you see this, how can something or life can be closed and under bars or already being shackled in perceptions? How? And this is amazing because if we read again the chapter of the Akedah, I think it's Genesis 22. Vayashkem Avraham baboker, vayashkem. He wakes up in the morning and go. And the killing, this is it. It's not just ancient happening between, so to speak, the father. It is happening every moment. There's a wake up, someone wakes up. You know, not just Abraham. Someone is like, before he wakes up. Imagine, like, you see a movie, a bedroom, eye open, tries to see to locate the phone, if there's like clock on the phone or in the room, the eye tries to find what the time is, the digital time, and suddenly there's a jump, because at the beginning there's not knowing of anything because it's from deep sleep. And once there is a recognition is landing into the body, so to speak, then the knowledge, the brain broadcast time, space to the program. Wow, it's 7, it's Monday. I have to be ABCD, I have to be in the office, I have to go to put the children in the kindergarten. This is the killing of Isaac. This is it. Killing the laughter, killing the joy, killing the infinite manifestation, infinite formless manifestation. This is it. So you don't have to go with, X? With wood, with fire, yes? This is it. Tell me what, I don't like Mondays. There's a song like this. To awaken to the week, to be, there is a beautiful song, I don't know from where. I don't like Mondays, the awakening after the weekend. Yes, abroad the weekend is Saturday and Sunday. Therefore, I don't like Mondays, the great awakening to this butcher house. So, is it historical story? It's not about us? Yes. Yeah. Isn't it about us? I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to pay, I have to be, I have to be in the office, I have to take the buses, I have to take the train, I have to log in, blah, 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 blah. I have to renew this and that. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and I have to. This is it. And what Abraham gets, and not just Abraham, the story from the Bible, what happens is there's a great awakening because it doesn't happen as we expected. We are not, the executors of the plan. We're not. Rodrigo, Yanis, Felipe, Fernando, would you like to say something about it? Would you like to share? Every moment we can think that we have a task, we have to do this. We under control is like killing joy, killing laughter. If the excess, let's say, from our side, if I could say that I have to do this, I must do it, is like, like enforcement. So, this is like, it's killing, basically. It's killing. Every time when there's a doing and there's a thought attached to it, I have to do it, I must do it, it's a killing. If it just happens, yes, it is just, the happening goes through. If comes a sentence with, I have to do it, I must do it, this is it.
Yes. And it is. We can think about also the insight, you know, like the experience that you had on with this professor, with this rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
He was killing the insight,
yes.
You know, because it is comfortable to stay in the known zone in the organization because it is inoffensive. So if you have a student, you are a rabbi, so, and he brings the old ideas, you know that it is inoffensive because it maintains the status quo.
Yes.
And, you know, we are feeding the status quo, the institution. But
Yes.
if you bring a new insight, well, we must kill this insight because, you know, who will know what's going to happen?
Yes,
Right?
it threatens, like you say, it threatens the status quo. And what if it's open? No, what characterizes the institutions is like closed. Everything is under a closure. Yes? We say cloister is like abbey. How do you say? Is like castle. All those. You could find many, many times that the churches or the house of prayers, they are. They are in buildings. Yes, and. It's like the building holds the sanctuary or the holiness. But you see all the time during the history, you can follow cultures across history and see all the time humans were trying to build cities and to build temples in the cities. And to worship, there is a feeling of something high. There's liveliness that happens through all of us, through the birds, through nature, through trees, and so. But there's a constant triumph from people to jail the spirit, to say, yes, it's here, it's there, it's in the temple. No, you have to go to a pilgrimage, you have to walk now. 5,000 kilometers with a rucksack, you have to climb the mountain. How does it start? They, with Abraham, there's a mountain. You have there in the mountain. What is a mountain? Hilhu, machshava. What a hilhu, machshava is a thought. You see the delusion until today. If people want. They have the sense of freedom, they go to the mountain. And now, just drop off the mental armor of your thoughts. Not that we are capable of doing it, but it's just, how do you call it? It's mechanical. Have you seen once a spider weaving the web? Yes? It's just, this is how it builds, this is what it does. Nobody asked the spider. This is the expression of nature. And the fibers of the web are very, very strong. One thread can carry many, many kilos. And our mind is like that, weaving, weaving, weaving. And then we find ourselves like, how do you say, covered with a armor or a coat of web spider. And it's not from the. I wish it was from the spider, because it was like, spider is real, but and you push the. You could push it with your hands, but what happens is that we are spending many, many years living on under this coat of a web spider, but it's not. I wish it was a web spider. This is an armor which is hiding us from life. Yes, it's like maybe I can. I read you. I would like to read you a poem about that. One second, let me find it, and I would like to read you this poem. Try to find because we are living constantly under this bombardment. We always speak about regimes and how do you say all kinds of government, but inside there is the great dictator. I hope I can find the song. It expresses a lot of how the mental processes. It's in Hebrew, I'll try to translate it. See where we are. Haser me'alecha bigdei ha'shalhevet. Remove from yourselves the dressings of fire, the flame. Haser me'alecha malchut ha'shenhav. Take from yourself or remove from thyself the ivory kingdom. Ki encha guf va'etzim. Because you're not a body or a noun or a bone. Gam lo ofrot zahav. You also not the treasuries of gold or silver or all what is put in the ground, all the treasuries that the earth has, like gold and lead and metal and bronze, all of those. Chaf v'yachef tehalech alachof. Innocent and barefoot, you shall walk on the shore. Hayom hazmani b'merchavei ha'insof. The temporal day in the infinite space. Ve'encha nir'eh v'gam lo nir'ah. One second. And you're not seen, and also not to be seen, and you are not a present, a future, or a past. Without the blessings of time, without powerless rest, who are you, from where and to where, from infinite and to where, and why shall you walk long years from here? I was trying, like, at the moment to translate. Let's read it again. It's from this morning. Again. Remove from yourself. Haser me'alecha bigdei ha'shalhevet. Remove from yourself the flame clothes or the flame costumes. Haser me'alecha malchut ha'shenhav. Remove from yourself the ivory kingdom. Ki encha guf va'etzim. You are not a body and you are not a bone or a noun. Meaning noun, this is an object which is like immovable or basically dead. Ki encha guf va'etzim. You are not body or dead bone or that object. Gam lo ofrot zahav. You are also not the treasures of the land, which are buried under the earth. And you need to dig them. Chaf v'yachef tehalech alachov. Innocent and barefoot, you will walk on the shore. Hayom hazmani b'merchavei ha'insof. The temporal day in the infinite spaces. Ve'encha nir'eh ve'gam lo nir'ah. You're not seen and you also not to be seen. Ve'encha hoveh yihyeh o haya. And you're not present, future, or past. Belo birkat zmanim, without the blessings of times. Belo nachat onim, without a powerless rest. Mi ata, who are you? Me'ayin ule'an, from where and to wear. ולמה תהלך שנים ארוך מכאן? And why shall you walk long years from here? The first two lines, if I may say, but I would like first to hear you, Fernando, Felipe, Yanis, Rodrigo. What is the impression? You can. To remove the ivory kingdom, the sense that we are kings because we have the ability to think and to write. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes, that's correct. It just opens, not to close, not to be afraid, not to associate, because the tendency is to associate ourselves with body, bodies, this form, yes, this name. The tendency is to reinforce us as identity, which associate to this body. And it says here, you are not a body or a noun. Noun is like a table, yes, an object. So you are not a body and you are not a noun. Because the pain or the suffering comes from this poorly identification with the body or the story around the body or the identification with this. The body that has a story, the body that has description around it, the body which is like a statue, yes, it's like an object, like a table in a room. So you are not, we're not, yes, this is how the poem speaks. You're also not the treasures of the land that you need to dig. We don't need to do any activity to excavate, like when there's like excavation of archaeologists, we don't need to do anything to discover or to realize what is already realized. So there is nothing to dig or to achieve. Because the tendency is always to look guarantees how people ask the fortune teller, the doctor, how many years shall we live? They won't guarantee. So why to walk and to look? There's this moment and it's unconditional. Life is unconditional. The conditions we just in a way get to acquaintance with when birth is, so to speak, is happening and we are being told about the birth, then we get the conditions. And we always walk under this conditioning all the time. And it's the jail of the mind. But as I said before, it's just a constructed jail. This is a manufactured jail, which is generated by the constant thinking that we are the thinkers and we can capture. But consciousness is infinite. I was reading today Filon in the morning and I was considering whether to read this part about Adam HaRishon, how he describes Adam HaRishon. And because how Filon sees Adam HaRishon is like infinite consciousness and very close to angelical perception of angels, more than flesh and blood. Then in a way, in his reading, there's like this angelical infinite living consciousness, and there's like man, flesh and blood that we are reading about in chapter 2. And the natural identification is to go with the name, with the body, with the birth, but this is just a temporary housing, yes, for the consciousness. Like a bird, build a nest, and in the nest they will lay egg, yes, and the eggs will split and the offsprings will come, yes, and then while there's no need of the nest, it just will like be open to the wind. And we are giving so much importance to this temporary nest of the spirit. Yes, it's good to be aware, to maintenance what there's, but not more than this, not to think that this is the final. The body which is being born or was born at some point will perish because it has an expiry date, but not the infinite spirit. What is our true nature is infinite, is intact. It is transparent, it does not need any dressing, it does not need any excuses. I'm late, I'm before time, I'm after the war, I'm before the war. It doesn't need any excuses. All of those dressings, all of those sentences are coming just to cover. And we learn from very young age to be those carriers of the story, to be the carriers of this chariot, which is completely invented. If you come to someone and you say hello, he will tell you maybe a story of his family, but for himself the story exists, and not even, it's like a vague collection of a few details which at the moment that there's a conversation is being handled, it will be flow into the space, but it, for itself it does not exist. So why to be consumed by this artificial dream? Because what happened is this dream of what we consider as life, this story, is consuming all the time, and there's a lot of stress, and this is not real. Recognize it, it's not real. So we started with the Akedah, with the mourning. There's always mourning. Always mourning, not just once, yes, in 24 hours. There's always mourning. And as Filon says, what is human? Has hope. This is mourning. This is Adam. There's always mourning. In a way, Abraham caught, the stories caught him not as man, but as trapped animal. There's always mourning, and there's always hope. And there's always infinite possibilities in all times. And everything is always open. And if we are tired and we have we are caught in exhausted perception and the laundry machine repeats with the same sentences, but just go and have rest, eat something, drink something, it will chill out. Everything is always open. And with this, I would like to thank each and every one of you for being here with us. Thank you, Fernando, Rodrigo, Yanis, Felipe, Shabbat Shalom. Happy life. Good life.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all. Have a pleasant week and pleasant season, and hope to see you here on Monday. Thank you to Da and Shalom. Thank you for listening to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. For more information, articles, videos, and interactive classes, please visit hebrew.learnoutlive.com or join our YouTube channel. Shalom v'chol tov. Thank you.